Another thing that I would include within your launch plan is, what is your plan for marketing? One area that I think is untapped is that everybody likes to go on social media and say, hey, I have a new podcast, spam your friends when it comes to, if they're asking for podcast recommendations. Again, don't spam your friends. It does not do anything. Instead, what you can do and what will be really effective is the podcast apps that people are listening to your podcast on.
On this week's episode, Ariel Niesenblatt walks us through how to get your podcast featured on listening apps. She shares how she's already got sponsors for her new podcast without proof of listenership, and walks us through a day in her life, which is very busy. Ariel is the founder of a podcasting collective. She's the co-creator of a podcast festival and also works in marketing and business development at Castbox.fm. A popular listening app you probably have downloaded on your phone right now. There is so much amazing information jam-packed into this episode, so get out your notepads. Welcome to Podcast Coaching with Christine. Here we talk about how to grow your podcast using industry insights and broadcasting strategies. Hello, and welcome to another episode. If you are new to the show, my name is Christine O'Donnell. I was a TV news reporter and journalist who worked in top markets across the country for more than a decade before diving into the podcasting world. And this is where I've been for the past 2 years. I use my news reporting strategies and experience to help podcasters find their story, to podcast with integrity, and to craft their episodes in an impactful way. I feel journalism is such an important part of storytelling and public service, which is why I started this podcast. So, before we dive into this week's episode, I want to first meet you where you're at. If you are just getting started or are a new podcaster and you want to make sure you're doing everything right, I am sharing my 15-step checklist to a successful podcast launch. It includes everything I have learned in the podcasting space over the past 2+ years, helpful resources, online tools, everything that will keep you moving in the right direction, and all of that is linked in my show notes. I personally experienced a number of bumps and bruises when learning about the podcasting space and all the technical aspects. So to save yourself from that, you're definitely going to want to check that out. Now, on to this week's review of the week. This week's listener shout out comes from a TV news broadcaster right here where I'm broadcasting from, Los Angeles, California. His name is Steve Kuge. He works for KTLA News. And he's also my husband. So I think he was feeling a little guilty because he hadn't shared a review of my podcast on Apple. And so anyway, he went a step further and shared a voice message review. So here's Steve Kuge.
Hi there, this is Steve Kuge. Yes, I happen to be married to Christine, but I've also been working in front of and behind the camera for more than a decade. I told thousands of stories over my career, interviewing people from all walks of life, and even maybe, you know, picking up a couple awards along the way. Here are the unbiased reasons for why I personally enjoy podcast coaching with Christine. Simply put, her podcast is a roadmap to better content. Christine digs deep into her own experiences. She shares the lessons that she's learned and the skills she's picked up over the years as a successful broadcast journalist working in the field. So if you want to engage your audience and grow your listener base, like so many of us do in all walks of life, you have to intrigue them. You have to excite them. You got to hook them. You got to pull them in. And that requires excellent storytelling and interviewing abilities. Christine takes her time to show us how to do that and introduces us to people who are already doing that and doing it really, really well. For example, one of Christine's recent episodes that I really enjoyed was her interview with the host of Fool Me Twice, Jules Hannaford. If you haven't heard it, go out, listen to it. Fool Me Twice is a great podcast. Jules is so creative in the way that she presents each episode. And in her interview with Christine, Christine got Jules to open up about her writing and her thinking processes. As a content creator myself, I found it so valuable to hear about the methods and inspirations of other creative people. Christine brings that perspective to us in every episode she does. Podcast coaching with Christine should be on the list of everyone who wants to make the most out of their own podcast. And that is my honest opinion.
If you would like to send in your own voice message and get a shout out right here on the podcast, please do so. There is a link to my voice messaging service in the show notes. Tell me what your favorite takeaway was from an episode and share your podcast with me so I can check it out and the other listeners can find out more about you. And thank you for listening. Lastly, a disclaimer before we dive into this week's episode. This was recorded when I was 26 weeks pregnant and was experiencing a especially high amount of pregnancy brain. So we take some zigs, we take some zags. It gets a little weird at times, but I think that makes it more fun. Now, without further ado, let's get into the episode.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Ariel, for everyone who's joining us, is in the podcasting industry in more ways than one. She is the founder of Earbuds Podcast Collective, a weekly email with a theme and five podcasts on that theme. Each week is curated by a different person. She also has a podcast that goes with that collective, that newsletter. She's the co-creator of Outlier Podfest, a traveling podcast festival. She also works in marketing and business development at Castbox. And now, while we've all been social distancing, she has launched a limited series podcast with her friend called Counter Programming. This is what we were just talking about. And this provides fun commentary on different types of counters. Yes, like your marble countertop, as well as a distraction from all of the sad news that is happening in the world right now. So when I was just kind of researching you, we met at a couple different conferences, including Podfest. Yeah. But just, wow, it gave me anxiety just thinking of like all of the things that you must do on a daily basis. Like, how do you do it?
I love staying busy. And I love coming up with projects to do. And I wasn't always like this. I would say the following characteristic of mine started after college is that I like to come up with an idea and then rather than dwelling on it, I jump into it. And sometimes the idea is not fully formed. Sometimes mistakes happen. Sometimes I clearly could have waited and formulated the idea a little bit more, but I just jump in. And that is why I'm doing all these things. That is why and how I'm doing all these things.
And how do you manage your time? Like, how do you?
Yeah, it's a good question. What I'd say is with the podcast newsletter, Earbuds Podcast Collective, I've been doing that for a little bit over 3 years. Every single Sunday, I've never missed a Sunday of sending out the newsletter. The podcast that accompanies that is only about 8 months old. So both of them I have some experience with. I've pretty much got it down to a groove of what day of the week I need to have the recommendations, what day of the week I need to do the recording, and when I need to have it all queued up and ready to go, and then the social posts that go throughout the week. So that's pretty much down to a science. It almost feels like I don't really, it's second nature. I don't think about it so much. The rest of them, there's new things that come at me all the time. So for example, with my full-time job, which is Castbox, I do marketing and business development with them. You know, different things pop up there all the time. It's a startup, it's a podcatcher, and I do mostly marketing and social strategy, and then also a little bit of sales for our in-app promotions. And, you know, the changing nature of the podcast industry factors into how my day changes there. So I have to keep up with things. So I'm a big reader of pod news and inside podcasting to see what the trends are. How I do it all in the time span of 24 hours slash a whole week. I think I work on the weekends, you know, and I don't hate it. I love working on the weekends because I love the podcast industry.
Yes. Well, that is wonderful to hear, because for you to be doing everything that you're doing, you have to love it, I feel.
Yeah.
It just has to be kind of like a passion project. You can't help yourself but want to keep doing it and doing it.
Everybody who I meet who works in the podcast industry loves it.
That's a good point.
I don't know what it is. I feel like it's maybe it's the startup mentality. Maybe it's that it feels like a new industry. You kind of feel like you have ownership of what's going on, or at least you can make some changes early on. I think that's very exciting to folks who work in the industry.
Yeah. Well, as someone, so my background's in TV news, and someone who was, that industry is changing dramatically and evolving in a way that I didn't expect it to when I, you know, was in college all those years ago. And so it is really exciting to be in an industry that's in an upward trend, I'd say, where there's like a lot of storytelling and people really want to make a difference when they're putting their voices out there.
Yeah.
And there's so many advocates for voices being heard.
Yeah.
And that is needed right now. And something that I feel you specialize in is listening to podcasts.
Yes, I listen to so many podcasts.
You are a super listener. So what makes a good podcast to you?
So to me, there's a difference. I listen to a lot. I don't just listen to podcasts. I listen to, I just actually started listening to the Harry Potter audiobooks, because I never read them or watched the movies growing up. So I'm on it now after last night's Harry Potter trivia that I did. And it's interesting already. I'm on chapter 3 of the first book. It's interesting to feel out the differences between the content there and the content in podcasts. So to me, podcasts, what makes a good podcast is a host that's transparent and consistent and content that is that varies by season if the podcast is split up into seasons. So a good example that I can think of is, do you know the podcast It's Been a Minute with Sam Sanders?
No.
It's a fun twice weekly podcast. It is always twice weekly. And that is the consistency in there. The transparency is, for example, if audio quality is not as amazing as you expect it to be, he'll let you know that, like, hey, the tape that we recorded here was a little bit funky because the person on the other side of the recording didn't have the best internet connection or whatever it is. It's just letting the listeners know what to expect. And when you know that, you begin to trust the people that you're listening to. So to me, that's a great kind of podcast, especially because his content is every week. It follows the same pattern. On Tuesdays, it's a deep dive episode with somebody in pop culture who maybe had a book released or who put out a new podcast or who has a movie coming out. It could be anyone. And then on Fridays, it's a roundtable news discussion with either NPR reporters or reporters that work at magazines around the country. Really, anybody can be on this roundtable, but it's always the same framework, but with different people within that framework. And I think that's a great way to keep variety, but then also to let people know that this is the way it is, and you can expect that from me every single week.
Got it.
Yeah.
So I agree, actually, having a framework, not only consistency, but a framework that's really engaging is so important for successful podcasters.
Yeah.
Just to keep them organized and to keep the audience aware of what's coming next.
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you have any other examples besides It's Been a Minute that people would like to share with me? I know you're like the encyclopedia, the human encyclopedia of podcasts.
Well, that brings me to a great recommendation. It comes from Wonder Media Networks. They have a bunch of different podcasts that are by women for women or by women for everyone. One of them is called Encyclopedia Womanica, speaking of encyclopedic knowledge. It is every day for a year, starting, I think it was June 1st of last year. They are putting out a 5-minute episode about a different woman from throughout history and time. And each month has a different theme to it. So one of the months was like witches and saints. One of them was religious leaders. One of them was environmental activists. One of them was just with feminists, women in business. It could be anybody. And what I love about that is that, again, very consistent, very transparent about what's going on. They make sure every single episode to let the listeners know what the format of the show is so that even if you're new to the show, if you're new to the show, you get a quick orientation of what's going on. If you have been listening, the orientation to what's going on is quick enough so that it doesn't bother you from episode to episode. It's just, you know, you give a little bit and you understand that the people who are just coming in to listen do need to be oriented a little bit. And I think that's an important balance to strike. Yeah. So that's a great podcast.
Got it. So the things that you kind of specialize in besides listening is you help podcasters get discovered as well as help people find the podcast they want to listen to.
Yes.
How did that get started for you?
So the reason I started the newsletter that I run, Earbuds Podcast Collective, is because when I first moved to Los Angeles in 2016, few reasons, actually. I had been listening to podcasts prior. I lived in Jackson, Mississippi right after college. I was working for a Jewish nonprofit. And for that job, we would travel a lot to different cities throughout the South. And we worked with different synagogues in the South. And if the drive was shorter than 8 hours, we would drive it. If it was a longer trip, then we would fly. But that meant that I had a lot of driving to do and a lot of podcasts to listen to. And at that time, I was listening, but I wasn't thinking very critically about the podcast that I was listening to or the knowledge that I was gaining. I just knew that every time I came home from a long drive like that, I felt like I had new fun facts to share with people and like I was hearing stories that I would not have heard if I did not have the opportunity to have these long drives and listen to these podcasts. So when I moved to Los Angeles, I was stuck in traffic all the time. I lived in the valley, worked in the city, typical story. Nowadays, there's no traffic anymore because of the pandemic. So to the people listening in the future, maybe you won't relate, but for a little bit in LA, there was very bad traffic and I was part of that. And I was getting stuck in traffic all the time, feeling like the only thing that was getting me through traffic was listening to podcasts that I was actually optimizing the time that I had in the car. And I did not hate being stuck in traffic because at least it meant that I would be able to listen to these podcasts. But I wanted to listen to more podcasts that would make me have aha moments once a week. I wanted to feel like I was learning incredible facts every day rather than just once a week. So I reached out to a bunch of friends who I figured probably had podcasts of their own that they were listening to that were giving them those moments of clarity and excitement of finding new facts. And that's when I started the newsletter. I thought maybe if I reach out to a different person every single week, they will be able to share 5 podcasts that have inspired them. And then I can just kind of have that in my inbox every single week. That'd be great, you know? So it was sort of selfish in that way. I wanted to listen to more podcasts and I figured other people did too. So let's start this newsletter. So I started because of that. I wanted to listen because I know, and I stand by this to this day, 3 years later, I think listening to podcasts will help us hear the stories of other people. And because of that, we're just going to be more open to other people's, to what's going on in their lives, whether it's good or bad. So that's why I love listening to podcasts.
Yeah. And a lot of them, I feel the same way. That's actually one of the reasons I got into TV news.
Oh, wow.
But the stories that I would share with people would only ever be a minute and a half to 2 minutes on TV. Like nobody right. ever really had the same experience that I did that day when I was meeting with a family member or talking with a politician or something for extended periods of time. Like I was in it. And then of course I would, you know, take
and you had to cut it down
and a half. Yeah. And then I would share that with people. But there's all these backstory and context. And I feel like so many podcasters are doing a good job of providing that backstory and that context about these events that happen in our world that don't get enough time or airtime. Yeah. And that's really exciting that people can come together.
Yes, over what I love
that.
What I love about the podcast industry right now is that there are still no rules. There are suggestions, and I like to make some of those suggestions. And I do think that good podcasts and good podcast promotion follows those suggestions and a lot of suggestions that I make and some other podcast professionals do. But there are no rules. There's no network standards that you have to fit in order to be on air rather than just not being racist, sexist, homophobic. Although technically those can be on the air. I'm not going to listen to them and I'm going to steer other people away from listening to them as well. Any show can be on the air. That's awesome. You can do what you want. you can give as much context as you want to a story that on cable news would be cut down to 1 minute. So yeah, we are getting these amazing backstories that we wouldn't get otherwise, and podcasts are letting us have that. And that's amazing. That's so cool.
Yeah. In some cases, and some podcasters are even breaking news. They're making things happen. And again, exciting reason to be in the industry. So you had just mentioned suggestions and promotion. Is there something for anyone out there who is thinking about starting a podcast, or maybe they've just launched and they're looking for guidance? Goodness, 91,000 new podcasters in the month of April, according to Apple Podcasts. Like, whoa! there's people who probably need a little guidance. What would you suggest to them?
Yeah, so I'll come about this from two perspectives. The first one will be through my role at CastBox as the social media person, and the second will be just through listening to tons of podcasts through every other aspect of my life. Basically, at CastBox, we're a podcast listening app. We get we're on some lists behind Apple and Spotify. We're number three in terms of the market share of where people are listening to podcasts. Because of that, it's very important as a podcaster to know where people are listening to your show. So go to your database, go to your hosting site, look at where people are listening. If you find that a lot of people are listening on CastBox, or if you find that a lot of people are listening on Pocket Casts, try to get in touch with the Pocket Cast people. Try to get in touch with the CastBox people. You can tweet at them. Sometimes they have infrastructure within their app that will make you, that will give you the ability to contact them and ask for promotions or apply for promotion within the app. But that brings me to a mistake that you don't want to make, which is that self-promotion is important. You know, we all think that the projects that we're creating are amazing, but you have to realize that self-promotion can be annoying, you know? So for example, sometimes I tweet on CastBox something like, hey, what are you listening to right now? And that's an opportunity for people to share a podcast that they've really loved or that that really touched them in some way. But instead, a lot of people will tag their own podcast. And that is going to do nothing for me and nothing for any of the people who are coming to that tweet and looking for suggestions. It is not a great endorsement of your own podcast to endorse yourself. You need somebody else to do it. And so that's something that I would avoid, is self-promotion just for the sake of getting your name out there as much as you can. Give me context. Give me, why should I listen to your podcast? So sometimes I'll ask on CastBox's Twitter, I'll say, hey, everybody, what is an episode of your show that you really love? Tell me what is unique about it. And there I am literally asking you, why should I listen to the show beyond the fact that you created it? So maybe do a little research into the people who work into CastBox and say, like, what podcasts have they promoted in the past? If they've promoted sports podcasts, what is a sports angle that your podcast has taken? If they've promoted true crime podcasts, hey, we're doing an episode on true crime. There's research you can do to make sure that you are not being self-promote-y for the sake of just putting yourself out there. And also, promotion of other podcasts goes a long way. Making friends with other podcasters on the internet and giving each other favors throughout time is amazing.
Yeah. How many podcasts have you been a part of, or are you a part of?
Hard to say. I've had consultancy roles with a lot of podcasts over time, but not necessarily credits. I've probably helped about 50 shows launch and then had my hand in, I don't know, another 30 here and there.
So, but also you are a host.
Yes.
In several places.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how many different?
I just run two podcasts. For a while, I refused to have a podcast because I thought there are so many in the world right now. I don't feel like I need to do it unless I have an idea. But then two ideas came about. The first was, so I was running the podcast newsletter for so long, and then I realized it might be a nice idea to have a podcast companion to that, just so that if people want to read, instead of reading the newsletter, if they want to listen to the newsletter, they can do that. And then the other idea was the counter programming idea that would not have happened had it not been for this extenuating circumstance of the pandemic.
So what would you suggest people take in mind as they're creating their own launch plan?
Yeah. The biggest piece of advice that I like to give when people are creating a launch plan is that they should determine ahead of time their format for the show. They should determine ahead of time how many episodes they'd like to have in a season, if they are going to break up their podcast into seasons in the first place. I'm just a huge advocate for writing things out in advance and making sure that your whole next few months are planned out. And I do like to have episodes in the bank. So I would say, if that is a possibility, do create more episodes so that you are able to take a little break once you've done those and put them through production and then post-production. So that's a huge thing for the launch plan. Another thing that I would include within your launch plan is, what is your plan for marketing? And one area that I think is untapped is something that I spoke about at Podcast Movement, and I mentioned it a little bit a few minutes ago here, is that everybody likes to go on social media and say, hey, I have a new podcast, spam your friends when it comes to if they're asking for podcast recommendations. Again, don't spam your friends. It does not do anything. Instead, what you can do and what will be really effective is the podcast apps that people are listening to your podcast on. Go ahead, go to those apps, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, Pocket Cast, all of those different apps. They all have things within their existing infrastructure within the app or on their websites where you can apply to be featured, or you can apply to be part of a curated list that has to do with something about your topic. And this is just another way for you to show off the show and get it in front of more people's eyes and ears without having to write on Twitter that you have a new episode and it's amazing because you did it.
But I'm sure it is amazing.
Yes, it is probably amazing.
There are things that you can do probably to also make your show more amazing. When it comes to the quality of a podcast, do you feel like that is important?
I do. Yeah. Yeah, I do. As much as this is not possible nowadays, studios are amazing. If you have a studio, if you have a place that's enclosed that can get as quiet as possible, that's great. It can be as simple as purchasing little bits of noise-canceling foam to put in your room or to put around your microphone. You can purchase a $70 microphone. You could purchase a $50 microphone and learn how to use it the right way, and your audio will sound amazing. Just don't use your phone. Don't speak right into your computer. You need to make that sound travel just from your mouth to the microphone with as little in between as possible. And that will make your audio sound a lot better. That'll go a long way. And then when it comes to post-production, if you have the budget for post-production, I love post-production. I say, you know, you can't do everything. Give your audio to somebody who knows how to make it sound great. I have an amazing audio editor who I cannot recommend enough, but I also, like, he does things that I would never think of. So for the counter programming podcast, we have him do very fun sound effects. And I basically just told him, like, Daniel, like, go ahead, do all the sound effects you want. I don't give him any direction other than that. And what he comes up with is hilarious. And I think it's 50% of the reason my podcast is funny, you know?
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so fun.
It's right on cue. It's like he's right. An added producer to your show.
Yeah. I don't instruct him on any of that. I'm just like, go ahead, have fun.
Well, you're also trusting someone. So yeah. I think that is something a lot of podcasters and entrepreneurs even are struggling with right now, because they want to do everything themselves when it comes to their show, like just managing everything, doing everything, and then doing all of the editing. And you can, totally possible, yeah. very doable, but it does take time. And also, sometimes we can be really critical of ourselves. And if you listen to yourself back again and again and again, you might start to not enjoy your podcast as much as you did when you taped it. So I do agree. And I'm speaking as someone who edits, I edit my own podcast.
Wow.
And I can tell you that it gets a little
yeah. I do my initial edits. Yeah, mm-hmm. I go through it once and I do the initial edits, take out the things that I hate that I said, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, there's a reason I hate what I said, and that's why you never get to hear it.
It's a little censoring. When you, how long does it take you to produce one episode
of Counter Programming?
Mm-hmm. With the help of your, like, you've outsourced.
Yes. So I would say pre-production, writing the script is usually about an hour between me and my co-host. We share that. Then recording, we record for about an hour, cut that down to about 25 to 29 minutes lately. That's what our episodes have been. And again, consistency, we will always stick to 25 to 29 minutes unless we're transparent about it and let you know that we have an extra special long episode. You never know. Then we go to post-production. We send it to Daniel. He edits it. Usually it takes him about an hour and then he gives it back to me. I upload it to Buzzsprout, my platform, and then I write my show notes, which takes me about 20 minutes and then it's up. And I would say, what is that altogether? Like 2.5 hours, something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe almost three. So not too bad. It's not.
And then social media promotion.
Yeah. Social media promotion. What I'm trying to do with this show is take a different approach to it. So we are very active on Instagram. We post fun polls. You just followed me there, so thank you for doing that. We post polls. We post questions that people can answer that they could only possibly know the answer to if they listen to the episode. And maybe that acts as a little bit of an enticement for them to press the download button. I did for the other show that I do, the Earbuds podcast. For that one, I would post on Twitter and on Facebook and everywhere. And social media doesn't convert very well. So for this one, I'm just trying to maybe not spam people and see if it'll do well. And guess what? The content sometimes speaks for itself. And because Counter Programming is a fun show that seems to be filling a need where people want to learn about random things that have the word counter in the title and have a little comedy there, it seems to be doing pretty well without social media.
Yeah. Are there other things that you're doing to promote the show?
I am looking into partnerships with other podcast apps and seeing what kind of features we can do. So right now, CastBox is promoting us. Obviously, I work for them. Don't tell anybody. And I'm also talking to Stitcher. So they have us in one of their curated front page groups of podcasts. And then I'm also trying to find a way in with Apple, find a way in with Pocket Casts. And that's really, I think, the secret sauce.
So what would you say to someone who feels really intimidated or scared to reach out to the people who work at the podcasting apps and platforms?
Yeah. So it doesn't have to be intimidating or scary. A lot of the apps already have people who are dedicated to taking inquiries like that. So just go on their websites and look at their staff pages and see who is the in-app editor or content curator. Those people are looking to put together lists because lists are very SEO friendly. So people do want to be filling up their lists with podcasts that could be a success on the show. So for example, I'm helping my friend Cam, who has a podcast called Sex Talk with My Mom, get his podcast onto more apps, whether it's in the form of lists or if it's just promoting that podcast itself. And one thing that I've pitched is that nowadays everybody's lonely, they're home. Maybe they want to listen to podcasts that have to do with sex, or maybe they want to have to listen to podcasts that have to do with relationships or intimacy. So I've been talking to people about creating lists on their apps that are sex and relationships lists or intimacy lists, and then including Sex Talk with My Mom as one of those podcasts. So if you have a great idea for a list that your podcast could be a part of, great, pitch that. You never know. And if it's not used now, it could be maybe it's a blog post or maybe it's something else that will drive traction to your show.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I know which podcast you're talking about, and it's really good.
Sex Talk with My Mom?
Yeah, it's fun.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
And also, what a title.
I know.
So
they're very ridiculous.
It's just like, let's go right there.
Yes.
What would you say is, well, okay, first off, I feel like my brain is a lot of different places. There was a couple follow-up questions.
Yeah.
How much do you budget for your editor? And do you try and do exchanges and stuff for people for free? Like music, yes. Design?
Yes. So my editor is a friend of a friend. I met him almost 2 years ago. And when I managed a podcast studio in West LA at a co-working space, we hired him to do in-studio engineering sessions as well as post-production sessions. Because of that, we became friends. So he gives me a little bit of a discount. He gives me a nice percentage off. So I budget about $60 per episode. It's about $60 an hour. So it's not terrible. It's not, it's still money. But the good news is I'm pretty okay at finding sponsors, and I'll get to that in a minute. So ultimately, I like to either break even or make a few dollars here and there. And I've been pretty successful at doing that. And what was the second question?
Was it workflow? How much?
You said, how much do you budget?
How much do you budget? And it must have been, maybe it was workflow. I think that was a question I had in my mind to share coming up. But
okay, we can get there after.
Yeah. So I'm pregnant.
I feel like that should just be your whole intro. Hey, everybody.
Hey, I'm pregnant. Not on my game.
Please excuse everything.
Just being honest, I literally used scissors to cut my underwear yesterday.
Nice.
Because they were strangling me.
Yay.
So, I have reached that stage in my pregnancy.
Wow.
And I still have 3.5 months to go. Okay. Yay. I'm so
Wait,
glad.
When is the baby due? September?
August.
Okay.
August. So, okay. Workflow. Can you tell me a little bit? And I want to do come back to, you talked about sponsors, and I noticed you guys already have sponsors in counter programming.
Yes.
So I was kind of like, wow, this is amazing. They've just launched and they have sponsors. Did they have to show proof of downloads to get those sponsors? Or is it a relationship because you are so well connected in the industry that they're like, hey, let's try this out and see how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. So first, for the workflow, do you mean how we go from?
Let's come back to that.
Okay. And- okay. So for sponsors, yes, the majority of the sponsors that I have now are a result of pre-existing relationships that I've fostered over the years. So right now, if you listen to the show, you'll find that in the past 3 episodes, we have done cross promo, free non-monetary cross promos with a few podcasts. And that's just a simple, hey, I love your show. I think that your listeners would like my show. Can I say a few words about your show on my podcast? And will you do the same? Amazing. Maybe it'll make some more people come to my podcast. Maybe it'll have some more people come to your podcast. But more importantly, it legitimizes both of our shows. That's great. Then we are also working with Buzzsprout. So they're our hosting site. But then also, we genuinely love them as a hosting site. Me and my co-host Shira, we had a phone call with Albin, who is the head of marketing at Buzzsprout. And I met him at Podcast Movement this past February. And we became best friends. And I just truly love Buzzsprout. And I am like down to promote them because of that. And they're down to give us a little bit of a discount on what we're doing. And because of that, that's that ad that you hear. So it's just been great. You know, make some podcast friends. You never know what kind of promotions they're going to be able to do for you and for you for them.
Got it. Yeah. Well, and one of the amazing things that you've been doing is being so visible at conferences. Like, you are very involved in conferences. You go to conferences, you speak at conferences. Right now, there's a lot of unknowns when it comes to conferences.
Yeah, but there are online ones.
There are online ones. I wouldn't say it's not necessarily the same,
no.
As someone who's been to a few conferences. And it's like you meet somebody in an elevator and then all of a sudden they're your best friend. And you're like, how did this just happen?
I love it.
I know.
I miss it.
It's the best thing. You're like, how did we not know each other before this moment?
Yeah.
And it's just so, I love going to conferences. I love meeting people. That's where we met. And I'm like, this girl is a bold badass.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You are. I hope you're okay with that.
Oh, I love it. I do. What I was going to say is, let me go back to you asked about proof of downloads and things like that.
Yeah.
So no, okay. I don't have to show proof of downloads. So for example, the other show that I do is the one that is the companion for the Earbuds newsletter. For that, this coming week, I have the most sponsors per week that I've ever had. I have 3 sponsors. And the way I did that is that I get a lot of press releases, and I think that happens to a lot of different podcasters. Your email will get on a list, and then all of a sudden you'll get tons of emails from different networks that are producing shows. And what I'll do is I'll reply to them and I'll say, I love the concept for your show. If I love the concept for your show, I'm honest about it. If I don't, then I just won't say anything. And I love the concept for your show. I'm wondering if you have any marketing plans. And if so, if there's a budget behind those. If there's not, there are some free things I can do. Like, for example, sign up to curate a list for earbuds. That's great. If you do have some budget, I do ads for X dollars, or I can do ads for 2 weeks for X dollars. And great, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes they'll ask for what my newsletter reach is, which it happens to be very good. And the open rate happens to be great, as well as the click rate. And because of that, you know, people are very willing to advertise in the newsletter. Same with the podcast, which doesn't have that many listeners, but it does have a very engaged listener base. So you kind of get a double bang for your buck there, because most people that are listening to the podcast also receive the newsletter, and then you're getting double exposure to those people. So what I would say is just leverage what you have in terms of looking for sponsors, and they are going to want to sponsor. They're going to want to sponsor your content or have your listeners view their product if they think it's a good match. And you can make that argument based on what content it is that they're selling and that and what you have.
Do you feel comfortable sharing what your reach is with your list?
My newsletter?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I reach about 5,000 people each week on the newsletter.
Great.
And the podcast, I believe, has about, I use Spreaker right now for my hosting site there. And for them, I'm looking at about 1,200 downloads per episode over the course of a month. So not huge, but again, an engaged audience base.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to say, I just shared your newsletter with a friend right before this too.
Oh, good.
And she's like, I need to know more podcasts to listen to. And I'm
good.
Let's talk about discovery, right? Discovery has been a problem.
It's huge now.
Finding a huge problem, or it's
so everybody's looking for podcasts.
Problem.
Oh, so many people are trying to solve the problem. So many people, you know, on Twitter, there's at least 10 posts a day that's like, hey, I'm new to the podcast scene. What podcast should I listen to? And now I'm seeing so much more of that because people are discovering podcasts while they go out for their nightly walk.
Mm-hmm. Or what are you interested in? And that's the follow-up question. Are you interested in business podcasts?
Right.
So, okay. So we had brought up workflow a few times. And I think this is because I'm also so curious about what a day in your life is like. So I'm just curious how, what a day in your life is like, and then how, what your workflow structure looks like. And I know this is probably different for whatever project you have going for that day, whether it's working on the newsletter or working on the newsletter and the podcast that goes with it. And then you have a team that you work with some things, right? Or maybe if you would share any workflow tools too that help you achieve your goals.
Yeah. I'll share a weekend day because for the week, I work for CastBox. And yes, here and there, I'll have some calls that have to do with earbuds, but sometimes I can kind of double book those because people are interested in promotion. They also might be interested in promotion on CastBox as well as earbuds. So that's always interesting. Sunday is the day that I put out the newsletter. So what I do is leading up to Sunday, everything is working backwards. So the workflow for the newsletter is as follows. I have a spreadsheet where people put in their information, and right now the list is about a year. It's a year-long wait to curate with earbuds, which is nuts. So I really should not be letting people curate anymore. It's really a very long list. So basically, 2 weeks prior to your newsletter being launched, I will reach out to you and I'll send you a questionnaire. You'll fill out that questionnaire, get it back to me within 5 days before the newsletter launches. I ask you your name, your theme name. Why'd you choose that theme? Please include an audio clip of why you chose that theme. What are your episodes and where can I find them and how long are they? What's something you want to promote? What's a crowdsourcing question you have? And then I also, this doesn't have to do with the curator. I also, leading up to that day of the launch of that newsletter, I look for sponsors and I look for other promotional things that I can do. Like if there's a podcast festival coming up that I want to promote, I'll put that in there. Then on Wednesday, before the Sunday that the newsletter comes out, I send the newsletter draft to my editor, who is my friend named Abby. She then sends it back to me a few days later with edits. She's really good at grammar and all that. Put all that stuff in. It's amazing. Then using that, I create the script for the podcast episode. And I write the podcast episode script. I record that usually on Friday. I'm going to do it. We're recording this on a Friday. I'm going to record a little bit after this. Then I go through that recording, edit all the things out that I don't want you to hear, send it to Daniel, my editor. He actually makes it sound nice, sends it back to me usually on Saturday. I then upload it, write my show notes. Everything's good to go on Sunday. I then do the final edits on the newsletter, include the link to the podcast episode, and then we send everything out. And then we go to social media where we say, hey, everybody, the newsletter is out. Go ahead and find it in your inbox. Here are the episodes that we're showing off this week. Here's the curator. Here's why they're awesome. Yeah, so that's that.
Wow. And you can do it all in a weekend.
You know, there is some prep that needs to be done beforehand, but hopefully the curator has gotten everything they need to get to me. There have only been a few times that I've needed to scramble and find a curator in the last minute because somebody didn't get back to me in time. So it's been pretty good.
Well, now you've got a year's worth of backup.
Yes. So I do reach out to people. Sometimes if the curator who's scheduled for that week doesn't get to me, I'll reach out to the people who have shown immense interest and have been very sad that they've been placed in April 2021.
Yes. Wow. Well, that's great. I'm so impressed.
Thank you.
With how that like idea came to fruition and what it's turned into.
There's just so many podcasts, and I think curation is the only way that we can sift through all of the podcasts because there are so many good ones. Mm-hmm. I think that's really the name of the game.
And it's like, are you interested in crime? Are you interested in how to be a better at-home teacher, homeschooler?
Right. There's all of that.
There's so much different, like super niche content, which is something I love about podcasts. Well, Ariel, I think that's everything. All of the questions, they kind of were a little bit of a zigzag in my head, but we got through them. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience?
I am asked this pretty often and I never have a good answer. What I will say is,
I have a question for you.
Yes.
What is one thing, like what is one thing new podcasters should prioritize their time on to grow their podcast?
What I think is huge that not enough podcasters implement is having a marketing plan that includes social media that is all uniform in one brand look. I see a lot of social media, your Instagram grid can look really pretty or it can look really disjointed, and I think a lot of people are not attracted to the ones that are disjointed. So I think you're going to find that more people are interested in your content if it looks uniform on all aspects of your social media. So plan in advance what colors you're going to use. Stick with those colors. Plan in advance what fonts you're going to use. Stick with those fonts. And have that be uniform across all of your social media. And I think more people will be interested in coming to you and they won't be, and they know what they're going to get. It again goes with the idea of transparency and consistency.
Yeah, I love that. And a tool that I use to accomplish that is Canva.
Me too. I love it so much.
I wish that I had known about it years ago. Like, yes. It is so amazing. You can pre-choose your colors. They will stay. You can choose your fonts. You can come up with simple ways to just quickly change a graphic so that you can put something new out there. And I have found that to be a really wonderful resource. LinkedIn, gorgeous. Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. They customize every post you would want to make.
And the dimensions for it so that it looks good in the grid that it needs to be in. Also, pay for somebody to make a nice logo for you once, and then you've paid them. You did a great job. Now you have a gorgeous logo.
Yeah. I already asked you that other question. Do you want to answer that one? Or you feel
Yes. What? I'm going to give you an answer that has nothing to do with podcasts at all, just to show how versatile I am.
Ooh. So what is something else you'd like to share with the audience?
So this has no use in practicality, but if you've ever seen the New Mexico license plate, you know how beautiful it is. It's this turquoise, blue, and yellow. You can actually see it behind me right now. We're on video. Isn't it gorgeous?
Yes, it is.
I know. So I'm obsessed with it. Whenever I see it, I like go like this and I like kiss the car that I'm like driving past like a freaking weirdo. I don't understand. But now you have a little insight into who I am. And yeah, I just love it. And I think when you see it, you should think of how excited it makes me, and maybe it'll make you happy.
Did you ever live in New Mexico?
No, that's the weirdest part.
Who's going to say?
I was driving through it one time on my way out to California, and I learned about it. I saw it, I took pictures next to it. I literally have pictures posing next to cars. So anyway, you should know this about me, that even when you realize that I am a serious podcast person, you should know that I have this also going on in my head.
Got it. New Mexico license plate, blue and yellow. If you wear that at a conference, virtually or not, Ariel will find you.
I will find you.
Where would you like people to find you, or how?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Ari This and That, because this and that rhymes with my last name, which is Nissenblatt. So it's Ari This and That. You can find me on Instagram at Earbuds Podcast Collective. Earbuds Podcast Collective is something that you can search everywhere if you want to sign up for the newsletter or get involved otherwise. And you can listen to my newest podcast, which is Counter Programming with Shira and Ariel, by searching Counter Programming with Shira and Ariel wherever you listen to podcasts. May I suggest Castbox?
May I? All right. Thank you so much. It's been great having you.
It has been awesome. Thank you so much for having me, and feel good.
Thank you. You
too. Stay sane.
Thank you so much for listening. As a quick reminder, my show notes include my favorite takeaways from this episode, as well as the links to Ariel's website, my 15-step podcast launch checklist, and lastly, a link for you to record a shout out. Please make sure to check them out. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn at TheChristineOD. Thank you guys for listening. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. You can also find this podcast on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and more. If you would like to email me directly, feel free to reach out at podcastcoachchristine@gmail.com. And of course, you can head to my website, christine-o'donnell.com, for frequently asked questions, the latest on what's going on in the industry, and I look forward to seeing you over there.